Track 6, 50 Years of Protecting Norfolk's Living Treasures. Founded in 1976, Norfolk Churches Trust has spent half a century keeping the county's extraordinary churches watertight, welcoming and alive with community. Chairman Rosabelle Batt explains why these living archives are worth fighting for.
50 years on from its foundation, Norfolk Churches Trust stands as one of the county's most practical and passionate guardians of place, memory and community. What began with £300 borrowed from the Norfolk Society has grown into a charity that has awarded more than £7 million in grants, helping to keep some of the Norfolk's most extraordinary buildings open. More than 650 medieval churches still stand in Norfolk today, more per square mile than anywhere else on earth. For Chairman Rosabelle Batt, the milestone is less about numbers than about people and place. "I'm passionate about Norfolk churches and why they are so important and worth saving for future generations to enjoy," she says. A county of living treasures. Norfolk's churches are not simply handsome survivals from the past. They are, as Rosabelle puts it, living archives of our shared history. Step inside almost any church in the county and you encounter war memorials listing young men lost in two world wars, fonts worn smooth by generations of christenings, and monuments whose tender inscriptions still have the power to move. "We are so blessed in Norfolk to have so many churches," says Rosabelle. "I never tire of that thrill as you walk towards these wonderful buildings, be it a grand edifice or a small thatched-roofed cottage alone in the middle of a field, and open the church door wondering, what might I find today? You're never disappointed." Those doors open onto what she calls stories of pain, joy, love and memory, written into stone, glass and wood over centuries. Flint, faith and a golden age. Because the county lacks good natural building stone, early churches were often made from more perishable materials, so much of the earliest Christian landscape has vanished without trace. When Saxon builders began using flint more confidently, Norfolk's church history became far more visible. Towers, walls and doorways suddenly appear in the archaeological record. Flint helped shape a distinctive architecture. Its small, knobbly forms made sharp corners difficult, encouraging masons to experiment with round towers that could more easily be built from these pebbles. The county contains 124 of all Britain's surviving round tower churches, their distinctive silhouettes punctuating the big skies. During the medieval period, wealth from wool, trade and coastal commerce poured into parish life, and ambitious communities raised or rebuilt churches on a remarkable scale, leaving Norfolk with one of the richest churchscapes anywhere in Europe. From soaring angel roofs to intricate flushwork, these buildings speak of an age when faith, status and local pride all found expression in stone and timber. Loss, rescue and reinvention. The Reformation and later Puritan zeal stripped many interiors of saints, screens, paintings and altars in a determined campaign against idolatry. The 19th century then saw a very different kind of upheaval as the Victorians, appalled by decaying roofs and patched-up chancels, hurled themselves into restoration with a mixture of scholarship, enthusiasm and occasional heavy-handedness. "They adored restoring medieval churches," Rosabelle says, "except their idea of restoration often meant pulling half of it down and rebuilding it exactly as they felt it should have looked. If only the medieval builders had had better taste." Yet, as she readily concedes, their work saved many buildings from complete collapse. The 20th century brought fresh threats. Baedeker raids destroyed churches in Norwich. Simple neglect took their toll elsewhere. Post-war social change was just as serious. Village populations shrank, farming mechanised, congregations dwindled, and maintenance costs soared. Lady Billa Harrod and the birth of the Trust. Into the crisis stepped Lady Wilhelmina Billa Harrod, one of those formidable Norfolk figures who combined social influence with an instinct for action. Alarmed by proposals to demolish medieval churches in Norwich in the 1950s, she became a leading voice in their defence and in the wider fight to safeguard vulnerable churches across the county. She wasn't the sort of person who took no for an answer, says Rosabel. Most people would have tutted and written a letter to the newspaper. Billa founded a charity. That charity, initially set up as the Norfolk Society Committee for County Churches and later renamed the Norfolk Churches Trust, was determined from the start to be practical rather than purely nostalgic. Billa's friends and allies included Sir John Betjeman, the poet laureate, and a champion of Norfolk's parish churches. The first committee borrowed £300 simply to get the trust off the ground, and its first grant was just £44. Yet, as Rosabel points out, despite having almost no resources, they acted immediately, propping up failing roofs, preventing demolitions, helping small communities take the first steps towards saving their buildings. A lifeline in the present. Half a century later, Norfolk Church's Trust is a well-established preservation charity, but the ethos remains strongly hands-on. That £7 million in grants translates directly into watertight roofs, stabilised towers, repaired stonework and safer interiors. I often meet people who assume the Church of England or the government pays for all this, Rosabel says. When I explain that the responsibility falls almost entirely on small congregations, tiny PCCs, volunteers and trusts like ours, they're absolutely astonished. Over recent years, the Trust has also sounded the alarm about the impact of VAT and the complexity of funding major repairs. Rising costs and the loss of the Places of Worship Relief Scheme, which means now historic churches must pay 20% VAT on repairs, a cost which they were previously protected from, make large projects even harder to deliver. Alongside its grants, the Trust looks after 13 redundant churches on behalf of the Church of England. Now, redundant might sound like a sad word, but these buildings are anything but, Rosabel says. They may no longer hold weekly services, perhaps just a carol service once a year, but they are wonderful, historic, irreplaceable places, far too important to be locked up or left to crumble. So the Trust steps in to keep them open, fund essential repairs, and find ways to bring people back through their doors. That might be through concerts and events or through new initiatives such as coffee, clean and chat mornings, where volunteers and visitors come together for gentle cleaning, a talk and social catch-up. You don't need any expertise, says Rosabel. You can sweep, dust, polish or simply sit with a cup of coffee and enjoy hearing about the church's history. Fundraising with Norfolk character. The Norfolk Church's Trust's fundraising has always been imaginative. Its annual bike ride, walk and drive, launched in 1983, has raised more than £4.5 million over four decades. Held in the grounds of some of the county's grandest houses, the stately car boot sale is where all manner of quirky treasures from people's attics find a new home. Last year at Senno Park, one of the star attractions was a pair of boots from the film Kinky Boots. High-profile events such as this, together with evenings like the Holcomb Opera, help underpin the grant-giving programme, while memberships, legacies and donations provide a vital, steady income too. For its 50th anniversary year, the Trust has also turned to the next generation. The Norfolk Primary School Art Competition invites children to visit a church, really look at what they find there. Angel roofs, carvings, stained glass, gargoyles, and respond creatively. There are prizes of art equipment for both the winner and their school, and at the time of writing, more than 2,400 entries have been received. I'm passionate about giving young children the opportunity to truly see these buildings, not just from the outside as they walk past or drive by. I never tire of that thrill as you walk towards these wonderful buildings, but to step inside and experience the wonder within, says Rosabel. The Trust is also collaborating with Norfolk Wildlife Trust, which is celebrating its centenary this year to encourage biodiversity in churchyards. The 50 for 50 at 50 scheme will give 50 churches £1,000 share of a £50,000 pot to install an automated locking system for their building, and the Trust is financing a bursary to support training in traditional church conservation techniques to ensure that the skills can be passed on to future generations. On the 22nd of October, there will be a secret artist auction at Norwich Cathedral, with contributions from some well-known names. And the centrepiece of the celebrations will be the 50th anniversary evensong at Norwich Cathedral on June the 17th, where ceramicist Dame Emma Bridgewater, who has designed a special anniversary mug for the Trust, will give a speech, and entries to the children's art competition will be on show in the crypt. Why should we care? These churches are still working buildings that serve our communities today, says Rosabel. They are places where people gather for food banks and community groups, where friendships are formed and children learn. They offer something increasingly rare in our modern world, spaces of peace and quiet contemplation, free from the constant noise of mobile phones and technology. She is also aware of how easily we take them for granted. If we were to pick up one of these Norfolk churches and place it in the middle of New York, thousands of people would queue around the block to see it, she says. Yet, here in Norfolk, we're surrounded by them. We drive past them every day, and sometimes we forget just how extraordinary that is.